Well, I'm back, and this segment of the show is brought to you by ShoreCruise.com, your online cruise superstore, and in part by USA 3000, offering low-cost fares from St. Petersburg, Orlando, Fort Myers, and Fort Lauderdale to seven different cities. And when you book ShoreCruise.com, you can be sure it's the right choice. And if you don't believe so, we have Mr. Evan Higgins, president of ShoreCruise.com, is on the phone. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning,
and,
Roy.
It's been, we haven't chatted in a while.
I know, I've missed it.
We miss you. Lots of things have happened since we've spoken last, and you've been on a couple of cruises, having lots of fun, it looks like.
I have been busy, yes, no doubt. Yeah, there were, in the past few weeks, two new ships had their inaugural sailings, and they're both actually have started their actual revenue service now. The first one was Norwegian's Pride of Hawaii, which I got to see out on the West Coast in San Francisco, which was a treat. It's fun to be able to sail under the Golden Gate Bridge and past Alcatraz Island and all that good stuff.
And you know, we've chatted about the Pride of Hawaii. There have been so many ups and downs with that. Do they finally have it right?
Yeah, they do. I mean, Norwegian has learned their lesson. When they had to hire brand new staff for the U.S. flag vessels, of course, what you're referring to is they needed to hire brand new people who had never been on cruise ships before to serve them, because as U.S. flag vessels, they need to hire U.S. citizens.
Right.
So the Pride of America came out, and the Pride of Aloha, and there were some service problems that's associated with getting, you know, 1,000 new people up to speed. Now, what they've done with Pride of Hawaii, of course, two things that are good in terms of the service levels. One is that they drew a lot of experienced staff off of the two existing ships, so they weren't starting from scratch. And the second thing that they did is they gave the people a lot more time on the ship, a lot more training on shore in Baltimore, and then the first few revenue cruises aren't even going out full. So they're letting people really, you know, have training wheels on, get used to it, get accustomed to it, get their practice in. And I can tell you for certain, and this is the observation of everybody who was on board out there, that even in cases where some of the new staff didn't quite, you know, they weren't quite as organized as they could have been or quite as quick as they could have been, It wasn't for lack of enthusiasm or a pleasant attitude or a big smile on their face. It's just a matter of learning.
A matter of practice, yeah.
Yeah, so they've got their hearts in the right place, and, you know, everyone had a delightful time. And some of the staffers I met were great on board that ship.
Now, I read somewhere that that you got to break in the karaoke equipment.
Sometime when we're on a ship together, Roy, you'll see the way I go around a ship. I'm like a raccoon peering into every nook and cranny. Which served me well in this case, because the lounge that turns into a nightclub on board Pride of Hawaii,
right.
And they do some karaoke in there in the main lounge, as you see on, you know, a lot of ships and a lot of non-ship places. But they also have three small private karaoke rooms that passengers can rent out by the hour for them and about 10 of their friends. And these little rooms that are off of the main nightclub, they're totally soundproof. They have curtains, so you can make it totally private if you're embarrassed to even be seen singing by other people.
Right.
And they have very, very high-end karaoke equipment in there.
Oh, interesting.
It's really, really good stuff. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of songs to choose from. It was very impressive. And so, you know, I was carried along in the spirit of the crowd and the infectious enthusiasm of some Norwegian employees I was with, and actually sang a couple of songs, and I'm sure embarrassed myself thoroughly, but at least in front of a small audience in a small room rather than in the main lounge.
So I thought it was a lovely 2,000 people, right?
It was a lovely way to ease into a life of embarrassment and karaoke.
Now you abandoned the karaoke, and then you get onto the Freedom of the Seas, and you actually learn to surf. Now, tell us about that.
I was so excited. Now, you know, everybody probably saw Freedom of the Seas featured on the Today Show when the ship was up in New York for its inaugural. And, you know, I was glad I was invited to go on that. I chose not to, and I was glad I didn't, because, as you may have seen on the Today Show, passengers weren't allowed to play with the Flow Rider surfing machine. Now, I got on board in Miami a couple of weeks ago, and at that time, passengers were allowed to play on the Flow Rider surfing machine. And so I was just like a kid in a candy store. I'd never tried surfing. And, you know, I was a little hesitant at first, because let me describe the way it works to the listeners. It shoots a 3-inch sheet of water, 30,000 gallons a minute, over a trampoline-like wave-shaped surface. So you're never in more than 3 inches of water, and the shape of the wave is actually made from the bottom of the machine, which, again, is very soft. It's trampoline-like. So falling is no big deal.
Right.
But when you do fall down, you get washed to the back of the machine like a piece of toast being popped out of a toaster, which is a little bit amusing. The way that the staff is so positive and friendly and helpful that even a rank novice can feel comfortable and well at ease trying it out.
Now, when you actually do manage to get up and into that hole, or whatever they call it, where you get the best ride, I would guess you're moving along pretty quickly.
You know, you are. I never heard. Nobody told me what the how many miles per hour the water is actually flowing under you at, but, you know, it's a pretty brisk clip.
Right.
And the nice thing is that most of the time the machine is reserved for bodyboarding. And, of course, so even somebody who's never been on a bodyboard can jump on there and get comfortable on a bodyboard with no problem and have fun. Then they'll encourage you, once you're comfortable on it, to try standing up, getting on your knees, doing spinning tricks, none of which, of course, will work.
So you give it a thumbs up.
Exactly, exactly. And then for a small part of the day, they have it set aside for people who actually want to try stand-up surfing on a board. So I give it two big thumbs up. That was a lot of fun.
That's great. Now, another big event is happening, the Crown Princess this weekend, and there's lots of news about that because I guess it was delivered when on the I'm a little confused in the actual dates here, but I guess Martha Stewart is going to christen it on what, the 14th of June.
It'll be on Tuesday or Wednesday next week is when Martha Stewart's actually christening it.
Right.
Which I was with some I won't share their name with some princess people who were laughing about Martha Stewart being godmother. Of course, princess's motto is escape completely, which seems especially apropos under the circumstances of Martha Stewart as the godmother. So
yeah, funny.
Yeah. So I'm checking that trip out this weekend myself.
But they're doing some interesting things. They're having this new dramatic piazza style atrium with casual dining like street cafe environments. I mean, they're doing some really nice things, as I can see here.
That's exactly right. Now, Crown Princess is a sister ship to Caribbean Princess, so it's a very large vessel.
Right.
But they are doing some interesting and innovative things, and I'll really be looking forward to reporting back to you firsthand on what the differences are between the two ships and what the new direction is that Princess has taken, how well it's working.
Yeah, well, they're doing new, I guess they're doing some new restaurants. The Crown Grill is one of them. But I just printed out some interesting statistics on it, and the capacity is 3,000. Now, that's a lot of people. And as we say, the inaugural cruise is the 14th. The home port will be New York and San Juan. Length of the ship is 952 feet. What else? 19 decks. And 1,538 passenger cabins, of which 1,102 are outside. Wait a minute. 1,102 are outside, and 436 are inside. 26 suites and private balconies, and on and on and on. It's really quite a ship.
It is. I mean, I love Caribbean Princess when I saw her, and since this is based on the Caribbean Princess design, I'm expecting to like it just as well. Caribbean Princess and this ship, of course, have the outdoor Diamond Vision movie screens over the pool, which are always popular.
Right.
It's proven to be that Movie Under the Stars product that Princess offers is tremendous, where you can sit around in or by the pool and watch first-run movies on a huge outdoor movie screen. It's fun.
And I think another good thing is, of course, is there the wheelchair accessible cabins. They're going to have 25, 16 balcony and 4 ocean view, 5 inside, and you know, that's a biggie because we know there are lots of people that would like to take cruises and get to a lot of places, and it's becoming more and more convenient.
It is, and of course, you know, since last year, the Supreme Court ruled that the Americans with Disabilities Act does apply to cruise ships, but the particular rules for cruise ships haven't been finalized yet, but the cruise lines are definitely taking that to heart and doing their best to comply with both the letter and the spirit of that ruling as fast as they can.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Now, the cruise line's pain is your gain. And I went to your site, and I looked at this new feature for newly reduced distressed inventory at Sure Cruise. And I wonder if we could touch on that, because I had a few questions. But if you'll start out with what it's all about, and we can go from there.
Well, absolutely. So we have a new feature that we call the Price Cut Tattletale. And, cruise lines are altering prices all the time. And it occurred to us over the, looking at the data over the course of the past year, that occasionally price cuts are $100, $200, $500, $1,000 per person.
Exactly.
That's when the cruise line sees that sailing isn't selling as well as they might like. They drop the price to motivate people to book it. And what happens is that especially when it's a larger price cut, say $500 or $1,000 per person, is when that rate goes down, it'll sell out very quickly. So we wanted to give people out there who can be a little bit spontaneous the opportunity to have a place they could go and see on a daily basis what the most recent and largest price cuts are, so if they do have the opportunity to jump on board, they can go ahead and do it.
Right.
And that's the way it's structured. And it's we say that it's in beta. It's a test feature right now, so we're still enhancing it, but it's available for use right now.
Well, and of course, there can be some considerable savings, as we know. Now, I'm just looking at one of the first ones. It was where you have it broken down. It says price reduction. It says $3,570, and then it says price at last check $3,980. The next one shows on Costa shows $1,760 and $1,289. I'm not exactly clear on the meaning there.
Well, you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Obviously, we need to clarify our word choice there. What we're saying is that we're showing two numbers. One is what the most recent price reduction was. And then the second column, price at last check, shows after that reduction is taken, what is the current price?
Okay, after it's taken. Okay, I got
that's
it.
Right. That's right. And thank you for pointing that out, though. That's exactly the kind of feedback we need to improve it and make it
clearer. Yeah, because they're on a couple of them, it's a little confusing because the numbers jump from, for example, there's another Custa Europe shows 822. The number was 1,480, and then it jumped to 3,164. So that's a sizable change, and I just wanted to be sure that I was reading it correctly.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you brought that up. And you can see like that the first one you mentioned is a great example where the price now is $39.80 per person, and that's after having been reduced by $35.70 per person.
So absolutely,
you know,
incredible.
A 50% savings that happened overnight on a Panama Canal suite for 14 nights. So you can rest assured that that savings will not be sitting around for long as people become aware of it.
Now, the next step, of course, should be when people sign up for your newsletter or just sign up on your site, that you give them one of those dings, like the Ding Airlines, and where the price drops on a certain cruise and it comes up on their screen. Can we take that to that step?
Oh, don't make more work for me now, Roy. No, that is a very logical next step. You're absolutely right.
And tell us a little more. Is there a little more? We've got a little time here. Is there a little more we should know about this? It's really very user-friendly, and they just go to shorecruise.com. And what does one click on to get this?
Right on the home page, there's a right under the list of what's new. It says, you know, what's new, cruise price cut, tattletale. Click
there's
here.
A print. There's
it'll
a prompt
right
for
to it.
It.
Right on the home page at shorecruise.com. That's right.
Great, great, great stuff. And I sure appreciate it. Nice talking to you again. And hope to be talking to you again next week. We got to run. And,
thanks, Roy. Have a great show.
Goodbye for now.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. This is Evan Egger. And always good information. And we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be chatting with Karen LaPerry, so hang in there.